Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back for the final installment of our conversation with Major Fred Galvin, United States Marine Corps retired these days with Arrowhead Capital and Heroes United, based in Kansas City, to help family members of those killed in action in Iraq and Afghanistan. Fred, by all accounts, you are an extraordinary leader, highly decorated in the service and recognized for your accomplishments over the decades of service that you rendered in the Marine Corps. What you've shared with us is such a travesty, and it pains me because some of the people that you've described are people I've known and admired and even honored over the years, and feel very saddened by the ways in which this injustice not only has been meted out, but persists to this day, and hope again that those listening will encourage their members of Congress to join Representative Walter Jones in an effort to exonerate you and the men of what's come to be called the MARSOC 7. I would like, though, in this last segment to spend a few minutes with you talking about insights from your time in Afghanistan and to some extent, really, insights drawn from this particular story about what we've been doing there to date. It's come to be sort of characterized as kind of a big army approach, very much in contrast to the small footprint, highly agile units that you've been associated with in the Marines. What are your thoughts, Fred Galvin, about what we are currently being told by President Trump is the way ahead in Afghanistan? Sort of more of the same, it seems. Not a huge increase in the number of personnel, but it would appear the same hearts and minds, counterinsurgency strategy, the big footprint. Your thoughts, sir?
Very good point. There's a dichotomy right now that, you know, what the foot soldiers are doing on the ground as far as walking through minefields, getting blown up. I mean, they are doing their job, and America has not lost battles in Afghanistan, much like in Vietnam. But the strategy is a failure. What these generals have been proposing to win hearts and minds, to restrict the rules of engagement. In comparison, you look at World War II, there were 7 U.S. personnel that were tried compared to the 200 Americans we have here in prison right up the road in Leavenworth, Kansas from these current wars. What's the incentive for a young man or woman who's going out walking the battlefield knowing that they'll probably get blown up or shot at by an invisible enemy, or quite possibly they will be investigated and tried and their lives ruined, their family destroyed? So what a lot of Americans have been doing is, and that's the new strategy, let's just train the Afghans. Let's sit on base. We train them. Afghans have the lead. They go in and they do it. Let's have more trainers go over there and do that. Well, we saw the current commander in Afghanistan, John Nicholson's proposed, and we're sending approximately 4,000 more to boost it up to somewhere around 12,000, and that's just not going to work. On his previous tour that ended in 2012, where he was the deputy of operations in Afghanistan, those insider attacks from Afghans that we were training to be their own security forces in Afghanistan, under his watch, the U.S. fatalities went up 408%. That's Americans who were killed, often by these Afghan soldiers shooting us in the head. You know, one of the deployments I went on after Task Force Violence, you know, deployment with our special operations company in 2011, we had over 140,000 U.S. forces in there, and we could not get it done. So the leadership of trying to train trainers or win hearts and minds, I remember at Marine Special Operations, they even brought this gentleman, Greg Mortensen, in to listen to his 3 cups of tea, which is a proven lie that he was having success winning hearts and minds with. That still is a strategy. And March 22nd, 2016, the current commander of all forces in Afghanistan right now, John Nicholson, he and his wife condemned the actions of Americans that had been brought upon a hospital through some aviation ordnance release. And he and his wife apologized using a lot of the same verbiage that they use in Colonel Nicholson's condemnation speech of us 7 years prior. So my point is, there is no incentive for any soldiers to fight and win a war when we have leaders. The soldiers, the frontline foot soldiers, are doing their job as they're supposed to, but they can't when they're hamstringed by commanders who want to train Afghan soldiers who have shown their faithfulness by killing Americans on base. And that strategy does not work. We have to look at other options.
Well, let me ask you about one such option that the president was apparently interested in, but I'm afraid in the end was not given really an option to adopt as his course of action, thanks to some of the big army or others who feature prominently in your story, General Votel, Chief of Staff of the Army, General McMaster, his president's national security advisor, General Mattis, now the Secretary of Defense, as well as, of course, General Nicholson, all players in the recent decision. But Eric Prince, a friend of mine in this program, has advanced as an alternative, sort of reverting to what brought us success early in the Afghan campaign, a combination of the Central Intelligence Agency personnel and contractor support to work with Afghans, actually leading Afghans in the fight, as Eric calls it, a sort of skeleton for those forces, as opposed to just sitting back on base and patting them on the head and telling them to go out and fight. What are your thoughts on that as an alternative?
There's a lot of misinformation out there in the media right now stating that this could not possibly be successful. And I'd submit that that has been going on since the start of the war. We've had civilians with Blackwater, Triple Canopy, you name it, over there providing more than just logistical support. People try to bring up, well, we have laws that, laws can change. This is a viable option that can be done. And I remember Second Lieutenant Fred Galvin, the infantry officer course, being specifically taught by all of our instructors that the second that we fail to adapt to the enemy situation, we will lose. And right now, we are losing. We primarily sit on base. We can surge all these fighters over there, most of which are not trigger pullers. You have to look at the track records of these generals. They've all been promoted to the highest levels, but they have not been able to get it done. You look at how sophisticated World War II was, especially in the Pacific campaign and having to maneuver around all these islands to get a country that had battleships, aircraft carriers, but they finally capitulated. The empire and the emperor of Japan surrendered. And if we could do it then, and we have 1,000 generals on active duty right now, we have a lot of leadership that they can't get it done. So there has to be a mindset and a leadership change before we propose any new strategy from these generals. But we are not going to win in Afghanistan with this current crop of generals. It's been proven for 16 years that when we integrate with this big coalition, it's too heavy, too bureaucratic in the mindset, and we're going to continue to fail.
Especially if we don't understand the enemy and we're not adapting, as you say, to their techniques in order to defeat them decisively. Major Fred Galvin, we're at the end of our time together. I thank you for your extraordinary service to our country, for putting up with what has been, I'm afraid, very dishonorably meted out to you, doing so with courage and, I think, the kind of moral clarity that has distinguished you throughout your career, according to your fitness reports over those decades. It is an honor to speak with you. I wish you the very best and hope most especially that our listeners will join you in seeking, through Walter Jones's resolution in the Congress, the full exoneration to which you are certainly entitled, if not actually the apologies of those who have defamed you. I appreciate everything you stand for as well as your service, sir. Come back to us if you would. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.